The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Hey guys, we are finally back from the 2019 NFL Combine, and all along we promised you guys that we were going to air the full interviews that we had. And just like we did with the first two podcasts, I'm going to upload them in two parts. So without taking up too much of your time, here is part one of the full interviews that we had from the 2019 NFL Combine. You're going to get Titans GM John Robinson, Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, and Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett. Hope you guys enjoy.
Great to be joined by Titans general manager John Robinson. JR, what's going on?
Good. Thanks for having me on. Another year in Indy.
Your favorite time of the year, of course, answering all the media questions in Indianapolis. Let's think big picture here. If you sort of evaluate this draft, sort of the themes that might stand out, a lot of talk about the defensive line, but anything else that catches your eye as we're about 2 months away from the actual draft?
I mean, I think really both sides of the line of scrimmage, front-wise, there's some pretty good football players. You know, certainly the underclassmen, once their names kind of were official, that always bolsters the draft every year. You know, and then the quarterback market, you know, there's been much talk about that. And, you know, history usually tells you that there's those guys kind of catch fire, you know, from now until April, and they start to kind of rise in the process. So, you know, I think there's you know, across the board at every position group, you know, it's a deep tight end group too. Yep. You know, we've touched on the two fronts and you know, on the quarterbacks, and then there's some playmakers and, you know, offensively there's some running backs, some receivers. So, every year as you get further into the process, you know, guys kind of start to rise.
More specific to the Titans, maybe not specific positions, but is there anything, a trait, a characteristic you're looking to inject into this roster this offseason?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, from, you know, this is my fourth draft, with Tennessee, and, you know, we've said from the start, that we want, you know, tough-minded guys that are about the team. We still want to continue to add those. Coach Vrabel and I's, vision hasn't wavered on that at all. I think you can always try to be faster. You can always try to be more athletic. You can always try to be bigger or stronger. And I think the more of those guys you can add from an athletic skill standpoint, not that we, you know, we don't have athletic guys on our team, but the more you can have on your football team, the you know, the bigger you are, the stronger you are, the more agile you are, you know, it makes it tougher for your opponents on a weekly basis.
This is being recorded just before you meet with the large group of the media, so this will be probably old news by the time our podcast listeners get it. But Marcus obviously missing the final game of the season. A lot of questions about where he's at right now health-wise. I know you guys don't have a lot of contact with the players during the offseason up until about April, but what's your sense of where Marcus is with everything he was dealing with at the end of the season?
Yeah, he's you know, he's back out working on the West Coast, and you know, we've texted a couple of times, and things are going good. He feels good. He's excited about Arthur taking over as offensive coordinator, kind of keeping the familiarity there offensively, so that's not another system that, sure, you know, he's trying to learn with terminology and calls and checks. So he's really, really stoked about that. And you know, he knows it's a big year for us as a football team. And, you know, he's excited. He's excited to get back to work with his teammates.
You mentioned Arthur Smith, new offensive coordinator, keeping it in house here. Is that, you know, obviously every offensive coordinator is going to have a couple of nuances and wrinkles that are to his own, but is the idea that this offense might look pretty close to what we've seen or what we saw last year?
Yeah, I think with any process in the NFL, whether it's defensively, offensively, or personnel, how you're building your football team, you always self-evaluate. You know, we self-evaluate offensively, we self-evaluate defensively, we self-evaluate as a personnel staff and see, all right, this looked like it was good for us. You know, maybe this would really make us even better, or this really didn't. We're going to throw that out, or we're going to call this something different. So, you know, I think our coaches are continuing to go through that process. I'm sure there's some wrinkles that, you know, that he'll add to the offense, and there's some things that, you know, we're still going to be grounded and rooted in, that he really likes. So, you know, excited that he and Coach Pease, you know, forgot to mention Coach Pease coming back.
The great Dean Pease.
He is an outstanding play caller. We're fortunate to have him. Did a lot of good things for our defense last year, and, you know, excited to keep that continuity going.
From a production standpoint, wasn't a better back in the NFL during the last quarter of the season when winning football is played than Derrick Henry. Did you learn anything about Derek's skill set in that last four games when it felt like he had about 500 yards?
Yeah, you know, I was really proud of Derek, and you know, he self-admittedly was frustrated with himself in the early part of the season that, you know, DeMarco, we had moved on from there, and Derek had kind of, you know, stepped in. We added Deion Lewis as kind of a change of pace and you know, sub back for us, and you know, Derek was ready to be the bell cow, and for whatever reason, he just kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, but really kind of found his way, you know, kind of middle and certainly there towards the end of the season, and you know, put the team on his back for a lot of plays and ran hard and ran tough, and I know he's excited. You know, he's working hard and he's ready to, you know, he's ready for the 19th season, but just really proud of him owning it and knowing, hey, I've got to do better. This team's counting on me. And, you know, that's the type of mindset we want in all of our players.
When a guy doesn't have a ton of production in a category like Derek with a receiver, people assume that means not capable of doing something like that. How about as a receiver from Derrick Henry? Have we seen as much as we can, or is there a chance for him to flourish in that regard?
Yeah, no, I think he catches the ball. I mean, he's a big man in blitz pickup. You know, that's an important part of the passing game, to try to get around, you know, when he steps up in the hole and takes on a, you know, a blitzing linebacker or somebody coming off the edge. He's a tough guy to get around. And he's really good in space. You know, you can get the ball out, you know, to him on some of that screen game stuff. He's not a real make miss guy. Not that to say he can't, that stylistically, he's a put his foot in the ground. And like once he gets rolling, I think we saw, evidence of him. He's not only big and strong, but he's also fast, in the open field. So he's a tough guy to catch.
I think he might have committed a couple crimes with some of those stiff arms in the Jacksonville game too, the 200 and whatever it was, 90 or so yard game. So may not have to make too many guys miss when you can just run right through them. I think there were a couple of games. Philadelphia is one that comes to mind. New England comes to mind as well, where you can make a case Corey Davis was the best player on the field in those games. How does he take the next step? What is the next step for him as he gets into what year three of his NFL career?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the continuity will certainly help him too. You know, from a route concept standpoint, from, yeah, you know, your alignments, your splits, what you're looking at, what you're calling this coverage, how you're IDing certain things, the mental component of the game. It'll be a little less for him to have to learn something, you know, a new nuance so he can play faster. But I think he certainly showed throughout games, during the 18 season, you know, he's got good size. He's got good speed. He's a really good route runner. He's got what we call snap down at the top of the route where he can really drop his weight and get out of his break, to create some space, for the quarterback to throw so that, you know, the quarterback's got to be accurate, but maybe not quite as accurate if you've created some room, you know, against the DB there. So really proud of the steps that he took last year and look forward to him, you know, continuing to improve.
Delanie Walker, one of those guys that feels like he's always overlooked, but such a big part of the fabric of your team. Where's he at now, and what can we expect out of him in 2019?
Yeah, you know, it just hated to lose him, you know. You hate to lose any player, but, you know, the first game of the season, you know, he really worked hard. You know, to have a good 18, coming off a Pro Bowl year, yep, in 17. And, for him to go down, he's really working hard. He's back working with our training staff. I'm no doctor. I wait on those guys to kind of tell me where he's at in the, sure, you know, in the progression, piece. But, you know, I know he's hungry to get back out there and help his teammates.
There's a lot of talk about a quarterback in this draft. Certainly Kyler Murray, probably the most talked about one right now. And one of the aspects of his game that's noted is that he's an incredible athlete. Marcus, his same territory, if you know, if not superior, right there in that same zip code. Not that you're a play caller, but what's sort of the balance that you think you have to strike when you've got a quarterback who has the unique ability to hurt a defense in ways beyond throwing it, but also not exposing a guy to a ton of hits, not putting a guy in vulnerable spots, and then also creating some rhythm in that passing game? How do you find that balance?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a unique piece that, you know, really this, I almost call it a new age of quarterbacks, but these quarterbacks, they seem to be, you know, whether it's Marcus or Deshaun or Lamar or, you know, Kyler and some of the guys in this year's draft, they're, you know, they can make plays with their legs. And, you know, one of the things that they have to learn and that, you know, we've certainly talked to Marcus about is learning to live another play. Like, sure, it's not worth, you know, two more yards, for you to take an unnecessary shot or take a hit. You know, throw the ball out of bounds, slide, do whatever you got to do. But, you know, the most important thing is that you get back up and you can go to the next, you know, the next play and the huddle and rally the guys to keep playing.
Just to get you out on this, just thinking about the combine in general, we put so much stock into so many things, you know, from the outside, certainly latch onto. Everyone wants to know, will Kyler Murray throw? How fast will he run? Sometimes we get locked in on 40 times for offensive linemen, et cetera. Is there a facet of this process that you think just can be universally applied that might be most important for the 250 or so guys that are here as prospects, whether it's medical, whether it's a specific test?
Yeah, I think, you know, the medical is an extremely important part. You know, there's been things discovered, you know, since in my time coming here in 18, 19 years, whatever it is, that, yep. You know, there's been issues that have affected players that they really didn't know they had, life-threatening issues,
sure.
that were diagnosed. And you know, we as clubs, we work through that. So the medical is a key component. You know, the testing data, the measured data, you know, that's an important part where you're comparing it to players of past, or, you know, you think a guy runs fast on the tape or the film or the game that you went to, but it really verifies or validates, you know, his speed. You know, the most important part, though, I think, is getting to know the player. It's no different than any other industry or any other line of work. You know, we're going to be working with these players on a daily basis. The position coach is going to spend more time with them than anybody. And are they going to be able to work together? Are they going to be able to coach the player? Is the player going to be able to take the coaching to try to improve him, which in turn improves the team? So like any other extensive job interview, when you're asking questions and knowing, can this be a coworker that can really help our team, our organization, our company, you know, whatever line of work it may be in, I think that's probably, you know, one of the most important parts. Are you going to be able to work with that player for 3, 4, 5, you know, hopefully, you know, 10, 15 years?
Fun times ahead for the Titans, obviously hosting the draft this year in Nashville. So the guy, whoever gets called with your first pick, whether it's where it's currently slotted or a different spot, it's going to have an easy commute to first day work.
Yeah, it'll be a quick trip over. You know, we'll be able to get them in a little earlier,
yeah.
Maybe than usual when you got to fly them in the night before. So, you know, the city's extremely excited. The state's excited. There's going to be a ton of people down there. I think we've shown, last spring, you know, our owner, Amy Adams Strunk, has done a tremendous job in helping to land the draft there in Nashville. You know, it was her idea last year to throw the uniform unveiling,
yep.
down on Broadway, which we had 30, 40,000 people there, I think. It's going to be that times probably 10.
Yeah, should be great.
And it's just going to be a really fun time. Great for our city and great for the NFL.
One of the best cities in the country, much more one of the best NFL cities.
You
got
to keep it a little quiet, though, because the traffic's starting to get bad. People are finding out a little bit too quickly about Nashville.
I've got a bachelor party 2 weeks before the draft in Nashville, so I'll
that's
make sure
trouble.
I get the full scouting.
Yeah,
I'll text
trouble.
You for suggestions.
I'll give you
of,
some download spots.
Okay, you and Vrabel can hook me up with the best spots to eat.
You got it.
Appreciate it. He's field day. Great to be joined by new Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Has that gotten old to hear yet or no?
I'm still getting used to it, Field.
Yeah, a little bit of, but you're a football guy. You've been, how many cities have you coached in? Probably in four,
too,
five?
Too many to count now. No, actually, this is our fifth move in the last 6 years. So it's been a lot on the family, but, you know, it's for good reason, and I'm excited to be with the Green Bay Packers.
I always say that wives are the MVPs of football families, right? You know, they got to be the ones that are finding houses and taking care of kids and all that. So,
well,
big shout out to the wives.
No doubt. And I've always told any other coaches out there that there's two kinds of wives for coaches. There's coaches' wives and ex-wives. And thankfully, I've got a coach's wife, and she's been awesome. So she's allowed me to kind of, you know, chase this crazy lifestyle, and but they enjoy it.
Well, now you're here. You were the first head coach to be named during this coaching cycle, and let's just think sort of big picture. Prior to being the Packers head coach, if I told you had the chance to coach what is arguably the most talented quarterback to ever play the game, what would your thought have been, and what has it actually been over the first, not that you've had any exposure with Aaron on the field, but 3 or 4 weeks into the job, has the realization actually hit you?
Yeah, it's something that I'm getting more accustomed to each and every day. It is what's really cool is when I get to sit down and watch the tape from last season, and just like to your point, you see such a talented quarterback, and to have the opportunity to work with him, and not only just him, because it's more than just about Aaron Rodgers. It's everybody on that roster, and I think Goody and his staff have assembled a pretty pretty talented roster that I'm really excited to get a chance to work with. And, you know, I think it's just a really exciting time for me and my staff.
Probably should have started with this. I mean, have you had enough time? Do you feel like you've caught up on the roster to where you want it to be at this point? There's so much else that goes on the head coach's plate besides just the basics of planning and watching film.
Sure, yeah. To be honest, I'm probably not where I would like to be. I mean, the hiring process really took a lot longer than I anticipated. But ultimately I knew that was the most important thing for me to do is hire a staff that, you know, we're confident that we can get the job done. And so it was a long process, but I thought we did a really thorough job, and I think we hired the right kind of people.
Obviously you haven't coached them yet, but just thinking back, I mean, over the past, 2 years, at least four of the several key young guys on this offense between Aaron and Jamal in the backfield. I mean, you've probably scouted those guys during the process. Do you have any recollections of them? And then how's that mesh with what you may see for them going forward, in your offense?
Yeah, I'm really excited about those two guys. Cause I think in today's NFL, you have to have more than one back. I think that position in particular takes more punishment than any other position out there.
Sure.
So certainly to have two backs of that caliber, I think they give us, they're both very versatile and give us, just a little bit more, than just runners. I think they're going to add some value to the passing game as well.
Specific to the passing game, obviously some, you know, you've got Randall as a pending free agent, Geronimo Allison as a pending free agent, but some of the young guys that we know are going to be around drafted three wide receivers last year. Mm-hmm. And one guy in particular, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, seemed to show up production-wise on a couple of different occasions. Him and Equanimeous, bigger guys. What have you seen from them based off of what they did last year and how they might project going forward? You certainly have worked with plenty of young wide receivers throughout your career.
Yeah, I'm really excited about those guys. You talk about three young guys that are obviously very talented, but I think they have a skill set. They're big receivers, but they can all run, and that is going to be critical to the success of our offense, is having guys that can take the top off the coverage, and I think all three of those guys can do that.
Maybe it's a silly question because maybe you don't think of it in these terms, but when someone is hired or coordinates an offense or a defense, we want to sort of assign a style or a type, you know, whether it's West Coast, whether it's air raid, whatever it is. Do you think there are tenets of a Matt LaFleur offense that you point to when you're at the first meeting with the guys, you're pitching them on this?
Yeah, no, I think it's about making it our offense. And what I mean by that is it's got to be the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, when you're dealing with guys that have had a lot of success offensively, I'm sure there's going to be elements of what they've done in the past that we're going to adopt and make it our own. And as well as we have a philosophy on how we want to do things. And as long as everything fits together, I think that we will make it our own offense.
Goody talked earlier today when he met with the media as a group about Jimmy Graham being a big part of the offense. Mm-hmm. Not too many guys have come to the league in the past dozen or so years with his sort of unique abilities. How can you get him back to the level that we've seen at previously? Because we know that, you know, in the red zone, play call can be pretty simple.
Sure.
Find 88, and that's a pretty good starting point.
Yeah, I've always had a lot of respect for him. The stats speak for themselves. He's had a tremendous career, and certainly we're going to try to maximize his talents. He's a big guy. He can stretch the field vertically. He's definitely a mismatch down the field, and so certainly we're going to try to, you know, use his talent to the best of his ability.
You come from a football family, so we'll get you out of here on this. Obviously, your brother coaching right now with the San Francisco 49ers, spending your blood for a long time. Think about the Packers organization. I mean, we're talking about one of the iconic franchises in sports, and we're about to embark upon the 100th NFL season. What does it mean to you to now be the person that is responsible as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, it kind of sends chills up my spine,
sure,
to be honest with you. Just especially, there's such an appreciation when you walk into Lambeau Field every day and you just think about the greats and not only great coaches, but great players that have been there before you. And, you know, what a unique opportunity. What a unique town. There's not another NFL city like Green Bay, sure, where the whole town is focused around the Packers. And so, yeah, I think it is a tremendous responsibility, but it's one that I'm certainly excited for, and I know our staff is excited for, and I think that, you know, our players will ultimately feel that excitement when we get to see them on April 8th.
I'm ashamed to admit that I've never been to Lambeau Field, but when I make my trip,
wow,
I'll be hitting you up for some local spot recommendations.
We got to get you there, man.
I know. I think Spotted Cow beer. They tell me that's the stuff to drink up there, though.
Yeah,
not sure
good.
How much time you've had for it yet.
I've had a couple samplings.
Right,
it's pretty good. I like it.
There you go. Starting off on the right foot. Yeah. Matt LaFleur, thanks, man.
Thanks, Field.
Appreciate it. He's Field Yates. All right, Thomas. This is what number combine for you now?
I think it might be 27. I mean, it's a lot.
You're a seasoned vet.
It's funny because I used to come here with my dad when I wasn't supposed to be here.
Yep.
So back then it was Duke Babb who was in charge of it all, and I remember, like, I got my credential under the guise of some 28-year-old or something somehow.
Right. So, but that still counts as a 27, right?
That. Yeah. Well, no, that's probably just right around there.
Okay.
I was in the tail end of my world before I got out into this business, but it's been a long time.
27, give or take a couple illegitimate appearances.
That's right.
But no one is really counting. Combine, obviously, a big part of the pre-draft process, but so much more going on in the NFL world right now. Let's just take a big global view of the Atlanta Falcons and think offensively. What's a theme, if there is one, this offseason from a personnel standpoint that you guys are looking to address or attack?
Look, I think, you know, we're really focused on continuing to become more consistent, more focused, more acutely aware of what's going on within both sides of the ball. That's important. Okay. On top of that, it's really important that we continue to shore up our power on both sides of the, you know, both fronts. That's important. We know that. It's never easy to do, and we always talk about having depth. Yes, depth is important, but before you know it, you don't realize you're struggling with the depth until you're utilizing your depth, right? So we're always very, very keen and aware of that, and I think that's something we're going to have to continue to be focused on.
So the past 4 years, I look back at the wide receivers that have been drafted in the first round, and maybe there's a case to be made that, like, Julio Jones don't come around all that frequently. Well, you guys have one of the Julios. But of the past 4 first-round draft classes, only one player, Calvin Ridley, has reached 10 touchdowns, which is a big number no matter what. But there has been somewhat of an it's almost like the first year of the NFL for these guys is like their graduate year of college more so than it is their first year being in the pro. Specific to Calvin, what did you see this year that allowed him to produce right away? And then where's the opportunity for him to grow? It feels like a lot for a guy after 10 touchdowns, but where can he get better?
You know, Calvin Ridley, again, we're very, very fortunate to pick him where we did, of course.
Steal.
Yeah, we were honed in on a number of other positions there. There was a run on O-lineman during that time where we started thinking, like, this is going to fall in our area. And sure enough, it did. It was a really important acquisition for us. He has so much, there's something about him. I mean, you want to talk about a fiery, passionate, football-driven guy. I mean, we knew it from the day he came in. He was such a good person within, not only on the field, but off the field. So the guys were really behind him, right? So Julio Jones 100% wanted to help lead him. That was a big thing. So did Mohamed Sanu. So did Matt Ryan. Everyone wanted to be around this kid. Yes, he had things to learn and grow. He ran really, really sweet routes, right? His ability to stop and start and to separate was really amazing. I was, when we looked at the workouts before he got drafted, we were thinking, like, I've not seen someone be able to separate as he does, and the way that his body moved, right? That was a big thing for us. He had an element of confidence, but he was still growing and young, and he had an element of humbleness as well with that. Where I think he was thriving too, though, is being in an organization like Dan, and Dan being open to, hey, if you're good enough, you will play, you'll either start or you'll play a lot. Doesn't matter if you've been here for a matter of minutes, so to speak.
Sure.
We have an organization that is open to that, right? Play the guys who are the best players there, and unfortunately for some of the older guys, if they get beat out, then they get beat out. It's no disrespect to them. So I think that's a big part of why he was thriving, because we gave him so much confidence along the way to believe in himself and say, hey, just go for it, man. So that was a big thing for us.
He certainly went for it. At running back, you've got, I think, sort of a good problem, maybe a high society problem. You've got Devontae under contract. You drafted Ito last year. Tevin, we know, is headed for free agency. So how do you balance the reality of Devontae and Ito being a big part of the offense next year with the desire to potentially want to keep Tevin, understanding that it may have to be that you come back and you're part of a trio as opposed to the lead guy, which you were, in essence, for the last, 12 or so games of the season?
look, to get Devontae Freeman back is going to be so important for us. And, you know, he's working hard to get healthy, of course, and that was a tough year for him. He's such an important part to our organization, so it's important for us and our run game and what we're doing now with our offense that he comes back full force. Tevin had a heck of a year last year. That's tough, right? As you know, it's really difficult to pay two running backs in this system.
It is, yep.
I think he's going to have a great opportunity out in free agency. We'll continue to monitor that. I never say never in those situations. You just never know. I know that, you know, I want the best for him. We do as an organization. He put his best foot forward for us, so that was important. Per Ito, I mean, to bring a guy in as we did with him and be pleasantly surprised how quickly he came along, like, that was a really important thing for us. I mean, his vision, his ability to stop and start. I mean, you want to talk about a body control athletic guy. That was really intriguing for us as we started seeing him grow, and he's going to be an important part for us, right? Whether he's a number two or whether he's a number three, or we're this whole, you know, this rotation that we're going to have will be interesting. We would like, you know, we have Brian Hill back. We drafted him a couple years ago. He went to Cincinnati, came back. He's really matured since he's been back. Sure. So he's a guy that has a little bit more size for us. It would be nice to continue to have a guy in there that's 25 to 30. You know, 225 to 30 is an important thing for us. So hopefully Brian continues to develop that way as well. So it's good for us.
I think quarterback play and evaluation could be kind of subjective. We have so much data. We got stats, and we've got people that evaluate it by wins and losses. And sometimes it's about, like, knowing exactly what the quarterback is supposed to do on every play. Yeah. But Matt Ryan felt like last year, quietly, was a really good season for him. He's won the MVP, and he had, 50 total, or whatever it was, 40-plus total touchdowns. In a league where it feels like quarterbacks are playing better for longer, did Matt maybe have his best season of his career last year? And is that portend to 2019 and beyond?
It's a great topic. And of course, we love 16 and what he did there. And that run was amazing.
Yeah, even if it's the second best season of his career.
Maybe the second. It was a very, yes, to your point, it was a very good season. I thought he, you know, he continues to mature, and I love seeing that. I mean, I love watching him grow as not only on the field, you know, developing as he would admit to anyone, he grows every year. That he's open to growing every year and learning every year, I think, is big. I love how his leadership continues to grow and how he's taken the bull by the horns in so many different ways. I think that's important. Yes, last year was a really important year for him, I think. Given what he was dealing with, what we were dealing with as a team, it wasn't easy, of course. And, you know, we had, you know, he was getting a lot of pressure coming up in his face, which wasn't easy. And he continued to hang in there. He continued to stay positive, continued to focus. And, I mean, obviously his interceptions were way down. He made some really good decisions for us last year. And I think he's in a really good spot that way. I look at him now and I think, okay, at you know, 33 years old, 33? 33, 32, geez.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 33. He might be mad if I'm giving away a year. But it's just been very encouraging watching how he continues to nudge forward on that. And his confidence level, I've said to him and whispered in his ear, like, this is your league now.
Right. Yep.
You know, and I say that figuratively, of course, like, meaning this, you're at the age, you're the one that has all these years of experience, you're the one that has all the experience, you know, in so many different elements of this game. Run with it. This is now the time that you own the league. And you can just see it in his eyes, because I believe he feels that more than ever, of course.
An oft-discussed idea is Julio Jones in the red zone. Obviously, I mean, I don't know, is there, like, if a football gods built a wide receiver, it would probably be like a maybe even a lesser version than what Julio actually is. In the red zone, though, specifically, you hired a new offensive coordinator in Dirk Cutter. You've added a ton of experience to the offensive staff, Mike Mularkey being a part of the staff now. How do you, you're not the play caller, you're not the head coach either, but when you see someone who's got such natural abilities to do things in the red zone, how do you sort of balance the desire to, like, want to have him be involved, but without compromising the offense being at its best?
Right. I mean, what Julio can do is many things. Not only catch the ball, he can run people off, he can be a decoy. Hopefully we're not paying him what we were paying him and moved up to be a decoy, of course. I mean, he's the kind of guy that if you're moving him and he has a ball in his hands, he can do some magical things. You know, the idea of, you know, people thinking the red zone, he can jump ball with the best of them.
Sure.
It's, as you know, it's not the highest percentage shot, right? So there are so many other options in my mind that we can continue to work with him in the red zone. And back to, you know, where we are with Dirk Cutter, happy to have Dirk here, of course. Dirk brings an element of discipline and maturity to this offense that I think is going to be really beneficial. Both Matt and Julio really respond well to what Dirk is, and I think that's important for us. So I think we'll continue to get him more and more involved. And I think there's this drive, as you know. You could see it last year when he was getting close to the end zone. He had this nose for the end zone that was really pushed, as you know, to get in there. And he's just one of those special players that, again, we'll have him all sealed up here. No time frame on that, but hopefully have that done when the time is right.
Wasn't even going to ask you, but there you have it right there. He just turned 30. More yards than any player at the age of 30 ever in NFL history. Not bad.
It was funny because I had a discussion with him towards the end of the season. We had a great discussion. I mean, I have the utmost respect for him. What he did last year, I thought, was beyond in my mind. I thought he did a hell of a job with being the leader that he was, a quiet leader. Of course, he's just got a presence about him. He was on the field a lot for us in really key situations.
Sure.
And he continues to grow as a leader as well, not only for Calvin Ridley, but some of the other receivers as well. His voice in the building is heard for sure. That is really important for us to have him back healthy. He and Dan have a really good working relationship, and we're very smart, I think, about the time that he is, on the field, practices and games. And back to that point, we said last year that we were going to readdress. We moved him up 1 year, meaning we took care of some financial stuff for a year, and now we're in the process of making sure that we take care of this as we said we would. And again, I'm not concerned about that. No time frame on it, but it will be done at the appropriate time.
It's about as good of an investment as you could probably make in the game.
I believe
football.
So.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Thomas, we appreciate it, man.
As always. Thank you. She's not a clone. She's your favorite gal.
She's Stephanie Bell. I'm here at the 2019 NFL Combine with Dallas Cowboys head coach and fellow Princetonian Jason Garrett. How are you, Jason?
I'm great, Stefania. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking a little time to join our fantasy football podcast. Couple questions for you. Amari Cooper was a huge find for you guys last year during the season. And fantasy players care a lot about Amari Cooper because he was not productive for them when he was with Oakland. He comes to Dallas. He's suddenly a number one. He's a star. What do you anticipate for him going into next season when he has the benefit of the full off season, having been with you guys? How do you see his role going into this next year?
Well, we loved Amari coming out of school. He was drafted a top five pick by Oakland, so we didn't have an opportunity to get him. But he just was such a productive player at one of the best programs in the country, and you heard so many good things about him as a guy. And so when you have that combination of things, it's always curious. You kind of follow those guys to see if it plays out the way you think it will. And I think if you look at his career in Oakland early on, he was a very productive player, a Pro Bowl player. He caught a lot of balls and did a lot of good things for them. And we had an opportunity to bring him to our team. We felt like he was going to have a big impact. And the thing I was most impressed by was how quickly he acclimated himself to our system of football. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. The middle of the year, you come in, all of a sudden the formations are called different things. The language of the offense is different. But he picked things up really quickly and was really productive right away. And he and Dak had a great rapport.
Right
from the get-go. And they made a lot of big plays together. And he certainly, again, had a huge impact on our team. The question about going forward, what we're excited about is a chance to be with him in the off-season. Mm-hmm. Throw routes on air in April or May together leading up to the OTAs and start to lay a little bit of a foundation. When you come mid-year, you're kind of catching everything on the run. And again, I thought they did a great job, but we're excited to see him, going through the off-season program and growing and developing together.
Well, one of the things I noticed was he seemed so excited to be there. I think the first time I saw him do a television interview after he was playing, he was like, I love everything about this, from the practices to the coaches to the facility. He seemed very excited to be there, so I'm sure that will carry over. While we're talking about wide receivers, Michael Gallup, obviously he stepped up for you, looked great at the end of the year, especially when now people are paying more attention in the playoff game to Amari Cooper. Gallup has some success. What do you see for him going into next year?
He's hopefully continued to develop, and obviously we liked him a lot coming out. We drafted him in the third round. But like a lot of young players, there were some bumps for him early on. And what you're excited about is he learned from them. Mm-hmm. He didn't go away. He did a lot of positive things. He learned from his experiences as he went. There were probably a couple plays early on in the year that he felt like he should have made, some competitive catches. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he took great pride in being that kind of a receiver in college. And he said, okay, I got to do a better job there. And you could see him focus on it and get better and better and become more and more confident as the year went on. And you said it, played big in the playoff game, but played really well, you know, really over the course of the second half of the season. I think Amari had a big impact on that. He got some better one-on-one opportunities as a result of Amari being part of our offense, but he took advantage of it, made a lot of big plays for us.
Well, switching over to running back, another big position that fantasy players care a great deal about, and one of the best in the league, obviously, with Ezekiel Elliott, who's been so strong for you, not only running the ball, but in points per reception league. I don't know if you are familiar with the fantasy terminology,
but
any running back who catches passes gets extra points. So people are a big fan of Ezekiel Elliott's game. But as you know, I'm aware, running back, one of the most vulnerable positions to injury. Now, he's been healthy, but he's your guy at running back. Have you ever considered increasing your depth, shall we say, with somebody who's, you know, would make a solid complement to Ezekiel Elliott? Or how do you look at that?
Yeah, Zeke's a great player. And you said it. We like to hand it to him. We like to throw it to him because typically good things happen when the ball's in his hands. And, you know, he just plays the game the right way. He's got great instinct and feel. He's tough. He wants the ball. And he can do so many different things to impact an offense and affect a defense. So we like giving him opportunities. But having said that, your point's well made. You just got to be careful of too much of a workload.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those running backs, you know, you carry it 30 times in a game, you're getting hit 90 to 100 times in the game by big, strong guys, NFL defenders. So, you know,
especially if you're a between the tackles guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we recognize that. So, you know, Rod Smith did some good things for us as the two, last year. You know, Alfred Morris was with us, you know, when Zeke was out, the year before, did some positive things. We recognize the value of a second and a third running back and how important those guys are. But, you know, there's no question Zeke could continue to carry the load for us going forward.
Well, that is music to fantasy players' ears. So on that note, thank you very much for giving us some of your time this week. I know it's very valuable, and good luck with your scouting.
Stefan, you're great to see you. Keep up the great work.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys, go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre.